Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan just after noon. Welcome back on the day before you shovel some turkey into that stomach. Beltway Blitz time. We'll talk some Caps who play tonight. They play on Friday. They are the sandwich around the Redskins and the Giants. But first, let's get you the latest from Ashburn. Craig Hoffman, in addition to being a really good-looking guy, is our Redskins beat reporter, who's done an outstanding job this year. Craig, I want to start with the injury updates. Four to IR yesterday. What do we know about guys like Jordan Reed being able to play, perhaps?
Not much. This is the problem with this week, is not only do I not know, Jay has no idea. It was really interesting hearing him talk yesterday, basically saying, like, I don't know what we're going to do because we don't know what we're going to have. We could be looking at a Seattle situation where, you know, you've got more guys that can't play than you do in active spots. I think that's in play this week. You know, for a guy like Reed, I think he's probably going to need another week. But it's also hard because they don't have any practice this week. So it's hard for a guy like Reed to go out and run full speed and test. They'd have to put him through a separate workout. And there's just not time for anything because they're having extra meetings. They're trying to do all these different kinds of things to get ready on such short notice for a game. I mean, Thursday Night Football is unlike anything else in the NFL. You have a schedule. You have 7 days to get ready for a game. And when that is all condensed into two, the amount of game planning and everything you can do is so dramatically changed and is so crammed that it's hard to do extra things. And so when you're dealing with the injury situation that the Redskins are, it just becomes that much more complicated. I wish I had a better answer for you. I just, you know, not only do I not have one, the team really doesn't have one at this point.
Craig, over under on center exchange issues in this game. I've got 17. I'm only saying that kind of tongue in cheek, but it's a guy that's never done it before. Not only at like the college level, apparently, but like the NFL level, let alone. I'm so worried about something happening and a lot of things being eliminated from the playbook because of that relationship there.
Yeah, and it's not just the center quarterback exchange where you worry about a fumble or on shotgun, you worry about a high snap or a low snap, whatever it may be. It's the protections and things like that where you're all of a sudden probably putting more on Kirk's plate where he's going to have to do some of that kind of stuff. And you even heard him talking last week or talking this week with you guys about Sunday and the final play of regulation where he's trying to check the protection where maybe if Spencer Long was at center instead of a Chase Roullier, a rookie, then maybe he's not worried about that. You know, that's me projecting onto him, but, you know, he gave you the information that he was worried about the protection. That's going to be even worse for a guy in Tony Bergstrom who was a tackle in college and, you know, has played tackle and guard throughout his entire NFL career. And hasn't played basically any center. I honestly don't know if until yesterday in walkthrough if he'd ever snapped a ball to Kirk Cousins before. We'll ask him today, but it's just because we didn't know about Roullier's hand injury until we got into the locker room yesterday, really. So it's crazy, some of the stuff they're going to have to deal with. Luckily, he's been here a couple weeks. He's a really, really smart guy. So hopefully he's taken well to the offense, but it's a totally different thing when you have to call the signals. And by the way, they're dealing with this on defense, too. Because if Zach Brown can't go with the Achilles, which I think he'll probably go, it's just going to be a matter of how effective he is. But Martrell Spate, I think, is a serious question mark. Like, who's calling the signals there? You're already dealing with Brown, a guy who's not as comfortable calling them or not as good at calling them and aligning everybody as, like, Compton or Foster were. So you're dealing with this on both sides of the ball from a signal calling standpoint.
Zach Brown was a guy for the first time all season this past week. And that's not a knock. I mean, he's in a walking boot after the game. He's playing through immense pain, but he's played at an all-pro level. He's leading the league in tackles and on pace for a $170 going into that game, and he just was another dude on the field in the Redskins uniform, which hasn't been the case. I am worried about him. And let's say he plays, is he going to be himself? And I actually think Monte Nicholson has become a really important player for them with his speed in the secondary. When they didn't have him against the Vikings or in the second half against the Saints, they got torched in the middle of the field. There's no way he goes if he's still in the concussion protocol.
Right, and think about other games this year where he's left, like the Rams game. They were so good early, and then the Rams make that comeback after he leaves. Like, the drop-off from Monte Nicholson, it's interesting because I'll admit, like, I thought DeShazer Everett was going to be an essential part of this team after Sua Cravens left. We all thought he was going to be the starter, and I was comfortable with that, with the way Everett had played in the preseason. I thought that, you know, especially as the year went, he was going to get more reps and get better and better, and now he's been replaced by D'Angelo Hall, and D'Angelo obviously had his struggles on Sunday and has the last 2 weeks. So Nicholson absolutely is a huge part. But as for Brown, It's interesting because there's this perception on the outside that he's this world beater, one of the best linebackers in football. And look, against the run, he's been amazing this year. He certainly his highlight plays are incredible. And his speed has been a game changer. But it's important to understand that they've got issues. Like, he's had his issues this year, too. He's given up a lot of stuff in pass coverage. Some of the spectacular plays he makes chasing guys down with the speed come because he blew the coverage. And so if he's not an A++ in the run game, he's all of a sudden becoming a liability in some ways because his pass game skills are not as good as some of the other linebackers that were on this roster. I say were because they're all hurt now. But you know, there's plays last week where he just doesn't seem to be firing, didn't seem to read things as quickly as he had earlier in the year, nevertheless have the speed with that Achilles to react. So I don't know what he is this week. I guess if there's good news, it's that the Giants have a bunch of dudes out too, and their entire offense got hurt in week two or whatever week Beckham went out, and they stink without him. So I guess that's the good news. But for the Redskins, they have a ton of injury questions, which I don't know if they're going to have a great grasp on till kickoff, and Brown is certainly chief amongst them.
Craig, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great Thanksgiving watching other people eat while you eat small morsels like the Golden Child and maintain your incredibly fit status.
Don't forget water, no liquid calories, and no carbs.
I'm going to beat you both with a drumstick.
A turkey drumstick? Because you're not going to be eating it?
Yeah,
that would be a waste of a drumstick. I'll just throw the platter at you after I eat the drumstick.
That's okay. My guy. See you, pal.
See ya.
Later, buddy. Let's talk Hockey Thumb. We'll do that with Hockey Thumb, co-host Crashing the Net with Neil Greenberg, usually Tuesdays at 6:30 post-meridian right now on 106.7 The Fan. Thumb, your co-host Neil doesn't think the Capitals are very good. He had them pretty low in his power rankings. A, are you in lockstep? B, reveal to the folks where he has them.
Well, I'll bury the lead, Danny. He has them 28th out of 31st, and he gets into it on this week's episode of Crashing the Net, which is now available on iTunes, Crashing the Net on iTunes. He gets into it pretty in depth, and there's quite an algorithm that he uses to get to that point. And a lot of it has to do with shot metrics and where they're scoring from and where they're getting the puck in the offensive zone against what is their strength of schedule. So, but given all that and adding in their, you know, -8 goal differential, I can see why he has it so low, because it's not him using his personal opinion on putting them there. But it was shocking to see that they ended up being 28th out of 31st.
I'd be curious to see where he's got Pittsburgh, who are a -16 this year.
22nd.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's consistent, which I like. The Capitals, for the record, if you're not really that plugged in on their season, you're just hearing that, you're going, oh, my gosh, they're bad. Well, there are some major issues, but if the playoffs started today, they would qualify. They are the eighth team, the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. They're 11-10-1, right in the thick of things. Right now, for you, what do you need to see in these next couple of home games? They're continuing this four-game homestand. They're 1-1 through the four.
I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, but I want to see a win against Ottawa tonight, because if you look at the next five games coming up, they're going to face Tampa. They're going to face Columbus. They're going to face some teams that the Caps have seemed to have trouble with, especially when it comes to how these teams play. Toronto is very fast and very young. They're in the next five games. I'm afraid that if the Caps somehow can't take care of Ottawa tonight, they could be in for a six-game losing streak if things don't go their way. So for me, I need to see a win tonight.
How much – I feel terrible for Philip Grubauer. How much is on him, and how much is the fact that they just don't play well on back-to-backs, or defense is struggling, et cetera? It's one of those things. It's like that fifth starting pitcher, Tommy, that just doesn't get run support and has like a terrible record despite being okay. Give me a picture there.
I would give him about 30% responsibility. I would say a lot of it has to do with the injuries. A lot of those losses came when Matt Niskanen was out of the lineup. And it also had to do when the young players like Christian Juice, Madison Bowie, Aaron Ness, that's when those guys were still getting adjusted to playing on an NHL level. It's not completely on Grubauer, but I would say that he did make some poor decisions in certain spots. So 30% I think is fair.
Tom Daley, Neil Greenberg, Crashing the Net every week on 106.7 The Fan. Thank you, buddy.
And boy, Tommy.
That is your Beltway Blitz. Grant and Danny on The Fan. You know what Thanksgiving means?
Mm-hmm.
It means getting together with family. And occasionally it means fighting at the dinner table.
Yeah, it does.
Arguing about something. Please nobody bring up Donald Trump or politics.
No, please bring me up. Talk about me the whole time.
So tomorrow there's going to be shouting matches over politics.
So much shouting.
In somebody's home, you're not going to be able to avoid it. I would just say maybe don't interact on
that. I want to talk about LaVar Ball so much.
But let's forget about politics, and let's go Redskins specific.
Ah.
What Redskins topics make for the best Thanksgiving dinner table arguments that lead to raising your voice?
Table flipping arguments.
Which Redskins
I love this
debates,
topic so much.
Which Redskins arguments will get the most heated at the dinner table tomorrow? That is the question. We want your nominees. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.